Jeremiah chapter 33 and the third verse, a very familiar verse for those of you especially who like to learn verses. It's one of those verses that we are continually learning. It simply says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." God speaking to Israel and telling them, "Hey, come on, talk with me. And when you talk with me, I'll show you great and mighty things." We also discover, for instance, in the Gospel of John and chapter 14 and verse 13, the Lord Jesus is speaking and he says, "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." We discover in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John that if we abide in, Jesus is speaking, he says, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified." Now then, praying is very essentially asking. If we don't know what to ask for, and if we don't ask, we can't get. There's an old saying, if you don't ask, you don't get. If you ask, you can be no worse off than you are right now, even if the answer is no, and it may be a resounding no that comes from God the Father, but anyway, if we ask, at least the Bible says, as we abide in Christ, so will the answer be. Now, I would encourage you to pray. I would encourage you to understand that the major part of praying is literally asking. The major portion that you will be involved in prayer is asking. We need to learn to ask. Now, John in his first epistle says, sometimes we ask amiss. Because we're not abiding, if you go to the 15th chapter of John's Gospel, you discover that if we abide in Christ, we may ask what we will, and he gives it to us. And John in his letter later on says, but sometimes we ask amiss. What's the breakdown? Why do we ask amiss? Why wouldn't we know what to ask for? I think it's essentially simple. We have to be abiding in him. And there is the key. And there is the crux. We must abide in him. This is the key that opens the door to ask what ye will. The Lord Jesus, in response to his disciples, where it's recorded that he said that they said to him, "Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us to pray." It's recorded in Luke 11:1. And Jesus quietly said to them, "This is how you pray. But first enter into your closet, into the secret place, shut the door and pray, and at that point you'll be heard." You can go to Matthew 18:12 and James 4:2 and discover that prayer is just simply calling upon God, the creature, calling upon the creator. We have to learn to do that. And sometimes we don't do it very well. And sometimes we do it so mechanically. And we're so mechanical in our praying. Listen to yourself, never mind listening to anyone else, and listen to some of the mechanical cliches that we string together. We've learned to do it. Well, let's understand first of all the source of prayer. And as we understand the source of prayer, let's see that this is where you and I must begin, at the very source of prayer. We might say, well, where is it? Romans gives us a clue. And the source of prayer in us is recorded for us in the 8th chapter of Romans. And in the 8th chapter and the 26th verse, you read these words, "Likewise the Spirit, who also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought." Now, in our own conscience, in our own heart, in our own mind, we really don't know what to pray for as we ought. For instance, A man came and was talking with me some years ago, and he was talking to me about the previous pastors of the church where I was pastoring, and he said, "We prayed that God would remove those men." And he named them one by one and how they prayed. I earnestly wonder if that man was praying as he ought. Later, as I listened to this man, he would tell me the story of how he had come into conflict with Pastor A and Pastor B and Pastor C, and then how he prayed that God would remove these men, and those men were variously removed. He saw that as a triumph of prayer. I wonder if he was praying as he ought. Listen to the word of God, which quietly says, "Don't lift your hand against the Lord's anointed." I wonder if he was praying as he ought. As I watched the man's life for several years, I wondered often if his prayers were as they ought. Now, it's easy to stand up and say that and know within one's own heart that sometimes we are all not praying as we ought. Listen to us pray about someone in our family who is ill, and we go into a great panic. "Lord, deliver." They die, and we say, "Lord, why didn't you deliver?" He did. He did. But what we meant was, don't let them die. In panic, we come before God. We say, "Take the pain, take the agony, take it away from me." We ask, we demand, we cry, we sob, we plead. But not as we ought. So maybe the first step is this, is to so engage ourselves in the presence of the Spirit of God, and so engage the Spirit of God in the concern of our lives, that as we develop our praying, our prayers start to develop, and the anguish and the desire of God the Father is being revealed through the Holy Spirit in our experience. It's essential that we pray in the Spirit. Now, some people have misunderstood that, and they'll say that I'm saying let's pray in speaking in tongues. I'm saying to pray in the Spirit is to be guided by the Spirit of God, and therefore praying as we ought. The Spirit, inwrought prayer of a righteous man, says James, availeth much. Spirit inwrought prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Look at the second thing. There has to be a simplicity of prayer. Something that we forget in our great clichéistic praying is the simplicity. And we need to turn to the book of Psalms and just listen to the psalmist as he prays. And listen to the psalmist as he opens his heart. Listen to the psalmist as he speaks with his Lord. There's no disguise. There's no sham. There is absolute openness. The psalmist in his praying is most beautiful. Turn with me quickly to the 102nd Psalm. And there, let's just find for a moment verse 2. He says simply, "Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily." Could you be more direct than that? Listen to the psalmist pouring his heart out and quietly saying so many things in so few words before God. Look at Psalm 96, how we need to, or 99, make it 99, I'm sorry. And the 99th Psalm and verse 6, Moses and Aaron among the priests and Samuel among them that call upon his name, they called upon the Lord, and he answered them. Notice the simplicity. Notice the simplicity. And what was the motive of prayer? Was it the agony of soul or the agony of experience? Call. Call upon God. There is no mystical formula for prayer. Call upon him while he's near. Look at Psalm 91 with me and verse 15. In the 91st Psalm and the 15th verse, we read these precious words. He shall call upon me, I will answer him, I will be with him in trouble, I will deliver him and honor him. What a thing! Most of our troubles are caused by our own sinfulness, by our own stupidity, by our own foolishness. And yet God says, call upon me in that day when you're in trouble. I'll answer, I'll be with you, I'll even honor you. The most curious thing, as we apply these things to our lives, come with me into Psalm 53, in the fourth verse, which tells us this. When talking about the workers, have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, they have not called upon God. Workers of iniquity do not call upon God. Psalm 50, and we look at verse 15 of that psalm. Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Repeated over and over, almost word for word, the psalmist is telling us that we dare to call upon God. Into Psalm 4 and verse 1, these beautiful words, hear me when I call, O God. Here's a prayer. O God of my righteousness, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Cast your eyes down to the third verse. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call upon him. Notice the simplicity of all of this. Call. 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 Then there is a third thing that we must look at, and that is the vast scope of prayer. How far does it reach? Just exactly how far does prayer go? I think we can use three words that are very simple words and words that we use often. Words that we can easily understand. For instance, the first word would be anyone. The second word would be anything. And the third word would be anytime. Anyone can pray. Come with me into Romans 10 and look at verses 12 through 14. In this piece of scripture, the Bible says, there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Call. Anyone can call. Anyone can call, Jew or Greek. The span of the globe, anyone. To those that are loving God, who are called according to the promises and the covenants and the wondrous scripture, people that have come into the presence of the Lord Jesus by receiving and knowing him as Lord and Savior, they can call upon him. Doesn't matter who you are, if you have called his name Jesus, and if to you his name is precious, and if you call him Lord in the power and the presence of the Spirit of God, if you know him as Savior and Lord, my dear friend, surely you understand you can lift up your heart and call upon him. Anyone can. But they can, what shall they pray? Well, if anyone can pray, they must be able to pray about anything. What is it that is really concerning your soul? What is it that is concerning your heart right now, this minute? What is it? Sometimes I find myself, as I sing a hymn, it'll relate to a certain place I was once at or a person I once met, and then the distress of that place or the distress of that person will clutch upon my heart and I choke for words. I can't sing sometimes. There's a moment when I can pray about anything. Absolutely anything. Come with me into Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, and verse 24, which tells me, "Therefore I say unto you," Jesus is speaking, "what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. Even the desires of my heart are given to me." The psalmist says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he gives him the desires of his heart. What is the desire of your heart? Ladies and gentlemen, we can pray about anything. Now let me take you and share with you that you can do this anytime. Absolutely anytime. Paul wrote to the church of, we call it Thessalonians, and in the first letter to the church at Thessalonica, in the fifth verse, he quietly says to those people in verse 17, "Pray without ceasing." Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. He says to us and commands us, in a sense, anytime. Don't stop praying. I'm sure you've had similar experiences to the rest of us, and if you haven't yet, I'm sure you'll catch up and have similar experiences. But sometimes an experience will rush through our life and crash its way through like a bulldozer out of control, and our life sort of starts to tremble and shudder, and our prayer life comes to a screaming halt. And there is a long period sometimes. Long for you may be a minute or an hour, a day or a week or a month or a year. Sometimes there is a long period where we can honestly say our prayer life has suffered. We do not pray. We can pray. Anyone can pray about anything, anytime. Now, if I were to add a fourth verse, it would be because I had read the 18th chapter, a fourth word I should have said, the 18th chapter of Matthew. Will you turn with me and let's discover that word, the 18th of Matthew. And there we read this in verses 19 through 20. We read these words: "Again I say to you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst." If you bind anything, says verse 18, on earth, it'll be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And unfortunately, we've often relegated that portion of Scripture to a different denomination than our own. We can bind and we can loose. And so the fourth word would be this: anywhere. So anyone can pray anything, anytime, anywhere. There's no restriction. It doesn't have to be that you pray in church. It doesn't have to be that you pray in your evening devotions or your morning devotions. It means literally this: we can pray always, at any time, anywhere, about anything, and anyone can pray. And this is the beauty. We may not have learned how to pray. We may not have got our these and the thous. I don't know why it is that, I suppose it's traditional, but I don't know why it is that some of us that learn to say these and thous in the archaic expression still have to pray that way. Why God only understands in Victorian or pre-Elizabethan, actually, English, I have no idea. But I remember the first time I heard someone stand in the congregation of our church when I was a boy growing up, and he said, "You and me and us." I was shocked, knowing that God wouldn't hear his prayer. I knew that God wouldn't even know what he was talking about. And I requested a time with our pastor. I must have been about 11 or 12. And I said to the pastor, "How can that fellow pray that way? Where are these my vows? And the pastor very lovingly said something like this to me, calling me by name. He said, but you must understand, God isn't restricted by vocabulary. I wasn't sure what a vocabulary was, but eventually I worked it out. How do you pray? Do you get all tense and worried because you're in a group of people and they're the thee and thous? And you're a you and us's. And you think the you and us's and the thees and thous's can never come together. My dear friends, anyone, anytime, about anything, anywhere, that's the rule of prayer. That is the rule of prayer. Up in a mountain one day with a friend, we stopped and we leaned against the rocks and we agreed that we would spend some time in prayer. And as we prayed, there was a sense of so close of the presence of God at the end of our time and session of prayer. He said something like this. He said, I feel as if I'm up in the mountain with Moses. He wasn't referring to me. He said, I just feel as if I'm in a holy place. There are times like that, wondrous times. But if you're laying upon a bed of sickness, you certainly can't get up and find a mountain very quickly. Not if you live in the prairie or on the plain. Not if you're on the coast and far away. Not if you're immobilized. So how are you going to pray? You're going to pray upon that bed amongst the feverish sweat. You're going to pray upon that bed amongst all the agony of the body. You're going to pray upon that bed in the confusion of a mind that is maybe filled with all kinds of drugs. But you're going to be praying. You can pray anytime, anywhere, about anything. And anyone can do it. Share with me. Let me share with you the next thing. And we have to be quick because of the time factor here. I'll just give you the scriptures so that you can look at them up in your own time. But I would earnestly beseech you that you would understand that you can pray direct prayers. Really, direct prayers. Be sure that you're very direct with God. Don't beat around the bush. Don't be one of those persons that spends a lot of time pretending. Don't say you let somebody go when you fired them. Just be truthful with God. Sometimes I get very confused when people don't speak up and they don't say what they're really about. They simply keep on about it. I wish they'd just speak up and get it over and done with. Then I know how to answer. I know where I stand. But cat and mouse games don't work. And they certainly don't work with God. First of all, in Isaiah 65, verse 24, we discover this, that we may be very direct. When we go to the bank, do you ever stand in the bank and when the teller comes to the window, do you say to the teller, I sure like some money? And the teller will say to you, give me a check. Well, no, I'd sure like some money. I just need some money. Well, how much would you like? Oh, I just need some money. You know, the teller's confused at that point. First, you don't give her a check, and then you don't tell her how much. What's your account number? Oh, I've got an account. What is it with this bank? What's the number? Well, what's your name? Oh, I didn't want to tell you that. It's a surprise. Now, you realize how ridiculous that is when you walk in the bank. But do you realize how silly that is when you're speaking with God? God understands. I've told the story. For you younger people, let me encourage you. When we lived in Eastern Oregon, I started to ride horses, and I don't mind admitting that some of the saddles I sat on would have been more comfortable if you'd ridden them, and not me. And there were very uncomfortable things that I sat on. Some were too small, some were too big, sometimes the stirrups were too long or too short. They were not made for me at all. And the soreness revealed it. And one day, as I was praying, I said something like this, Lord, as I'm doing all this riding and getting acclimatized to people in this part of the country, do you think I could have a saddle, please? One that fits me. And then I had this strange vision. I hadn't seen a cowboy film for years, but I remembered seeing a fellow, now I know him to be Roy Rogers, who had a who had tapaderas, I learned the name, on his stirrups, those pieces of extra leather with long stringy things sticking down. And on the saddle, there were strings flopping around. I said, you know, I don't want to tell you what to do, Lord, but I saw one like I think I like. Can I have one like that? Well, doesn't matter. Just as long as I get a saddle that fits me, Lord, please. And the saddle I was given was exactly as I envisaged. It had tapaderas, it had tassels, and it still has tapaderas and tassels. And it's very comfortable. And I've ridden hundreds and hundreds of miles. Be direct. The second thing here, remember that your prayers may be different. Now, sometimes God says, I will answer. And he will answer in a direct way as he did with me in that saddle. But he may answer in a different way. The Apostle Paul, he uses this story in 2 Corinthians 12 and verses 7 and 9 through 9 especially. But just to, let me recap here. His vision was going. We think it was his vision. He was going blind. We think that's what it was. And he called it a thorn in the flesh. He said, I went before God and I asked him, can you take this from me, please? And he asked him again, hey, you didn't do it last time, but I'm asking you again, will you take it away? Will you give me back my vision, please? And God still didn't do anything. So he went the third time and he said, please, can you do this? Will you do it? Please, Lord, will you do it? And this is what God said. No. My strength is all you need. My power is all you'll get. My grace is absolutely enough. It was a different answer. But there may be a delayed answer. Do you remember Joseph? Joseph was a young man who had visions, who knew before his time had come for him to be the ruler of Egypt. He knew before, years before, that he would be the ruler of Egypt. Though he laid in a piece of iron, though he was 2 years committed to prison, though he was laid in the depth of a dried well, though he was sold into slavery, though he was misunderstood and misrepresented, eventually this young man became the ruler of Egypt. In other words, the answer to his prayers were delayed. Delayed. I suppose the Christian is the most ultimate optimist of all optimists, because he sees hope where there is no hope. He sees God where there is no hope at all, because he knows that though his prayers may not be answered this minute, they may be delayed. Delayed. Look with me into 1 Kings 19:4. And you will hear how prayer was denied. In 19:4, Elijah is beside himself, running from Jezebel. And we read these words, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. I'm no better. Let me die. And God denied it. Now, very quickly, if you are anyone that can pray about anything, anytime, anywhere you are, you must understand that there are at least four ways God may answer your prayers. He may answer you in a direct manner. He may answer you in a different manner. He may answer you in a delayed manner. And he might answer you with a straight denial. No. If you're prepared to hear God and realize that God speaks in those four different ways, then surely you can come with great boldness to the throne of grace, says the apostle, and you can open up your heart and you dare say, Lord, deal with me. But there is a prerequisite to all prayer. It is this. Do you know Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord? Do you know him? My dear friend, if you call unto me, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Those are the words that God speaks. And he says quite simply, call unto me and I will show you. You would be a great and mighty singer. You would be a great and mighty preacher. You would be a great and mighty person. You would be a great and mighty missionary. You would attempt great things for God. You would expect great things of God. What is it? My dear friend, then call upon him. Instead of getting into a great discussion about your theology, where it splits here and where it splits there, and how it works in different areas, instead of getting into the great maintenance problems of keeping a church together, let's become people that call upon God. Instead of being so involved in the politics of our church, instead of being so involved in the mechanics of our church, let's turn to the Creator of the ends of the earth and let's call upon him that in this church he may create a great and mighty show of his mighty power. Call upon him while he is near. Call. When did you last call upon God? Bow with me in prayer, please. Our gracious Lord and Father, we worship thee and praise thy name, however we ask of thee. And we ask according to thy word. We place our finger upon that little word, ask, and we say, Lord, look, you told us to ask. We pray that thou would rock this place with thy presence. We ask that thou would pour out thy Holy Ghost in this place. And we ask that thou would hear our prayers for Jesus' sake. Amen.